Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at rvfamilytravelatlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
In this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about some fun floor plans at the 20th annual Atlantic City RV Show.
But we are switching it up a little bit and looking at some floor plans that would suit our family right now and a couple of floor plans that might suit us as a couple once the little guys fly the nest.
For our right now picks, I'm talking about the Airstream 2015 30FB Flying Cloud Bunk model. And Jeremy zooms in on the 2015 Jayco Eagle 29.5 BHDS.
And for a bit later in life, I decided that the 2015 Itasca Tribute Model 26A would be a perfect fit for a couple that sometimes travels alone and sometimes travels with the grandkids. But Stephanie fell for the 2015 Winnebago Rayo, a smaller Class A with a comfortable floor plan.
All of this and so much more on episode 22 of RV Family Travel Atlas.
So before we head into this week's feature topic, we have some correspondence to catch up with, and we have to announce two big winners of our Big Turnstile Coffee Roasters giveaway. So Stephanie, who are the lucky winners of the three-pack of fresh-roasted gourmet coffees from three different locations around the world?
Well, I am very happy to announce that Jean M. and Debbie W. won the three
packs. And they're going to be very happy too. And we actually know that Gene's a big coffee freak. And we didn't rig it for you, Gene.
No, we didn't.
Okay, we did not rig it. But we know that you're going to want fresh roasted beans. You're going to grind them yourself. And you're going to be really excited to try these coffees.
Yeah, Gene sent us a little bit of a
He sent us a picture of his coffee kit, which shockingly looked exactly like ours.
Jeremy had
all of the same equipment.
Yeah, Jeremy said, oh, did you see that picture that Gene sent? And I was like, no, what? And he said, oh, well, look at it. And I said, what? He said, no, just look at it. And I pulled it up and I looked at it and I just
cracked
up.
We both had the same coffee machine, same grinder, all of the same equipment.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And Debbie, if you're not a coffee freak, you will be once you get these delicious coffees delivered to your door. We also had a lot of comments about the coffee episode from last week. Because last week's episode was all about coffee. And really, we had a lot of really nice, interesting comments. So what were people saying?
Well, one of the first, it was like right out of the bat. Like last Saturday, the episode hadn't been out that long, and I got a comment like on Instagram, like, I set my timer with my French press, you know, today.
And man, did that 4 minutes take a long time.
Yeah. Or like, I washed down my French press this morning. I set my timer. Like right away, we started getting all these funny comments that were like, okay, I'm following the rules now. Like Mike Ayers really convinced people that they needed to pay
attention. I think everyone kind of woke up and realized, wait a second, my equipment's dirty. My water's not hot enough.
Wait, I have to focus. I'm making coffee, right?
Now, Brett wrote in and said, well, you guys were a little coy and you didn't tell us what your favorite method was.
Yeah.
Now, if we weren't clear, I would say our favorite method was the pour over for taste, but we won't be doing pour over in the RV anytime soon.
And maybe when we're talking about like our future RVs, like our retirement
RVs.
In our
little Class B retirement RV.
It'll be perfect for the pour over.
Absolutely.
But we're not going to do that. However, we really are seriously considering reintroducing the French press. And I think that you dug it out of the cabinet.
I dug
somewhere.
The French press out of the
French
cabinet.
Press.
I have never made coffee on a French press. Stephanie will have to be the coffee maker again. And we're thinking of a return to the French press because it makes enough coffee for us in the morning and it would be a little bit simpler in the
And we just love the unplugged nature of it. So we will keep you posted though about that.
Yeah, we had another letter we'd like to read. So JP wrote in and he said, hey, good luck with the presentations at the RV show. And thank you so much.
A lot of people wished us good luck. So many notes.
And
from
some of you are coming.
Thank you. So if you're
listening to this podcast on Saturday, the day it comes out, we're still going to be presenting Sunday and Monday. So go online and check out the schedule, gsevents.com, I think, And you can come and visit us here at the Atlantic City RV Show. We are broadcasting almost live.
Almost live. Kind of live.
From our hotel room.
Whatever that means.
I just bought myself a $4 cup of coffee downstairs in the lobby.
Eight hotels.
So JP went on to say, your podcast on coffee was great. We realized that the coffee maker we have has not been getting the water hot enough. Naughty, naughty, JP.
Yeah.
This is why we did this episode. So we switched to another one, and our coffee is much better. And Mike does say that getting the temperature right is one of the major factors in a better cup of coffee. Also, the info on the oils, the coffee leaves, have led us to clean the pot and basket with more detail. I just picture all of our listeners out there scrubbing their coffee equipment.
Cleaning their coffee equipment.
You know, taking the temperature of the water, all of them going, oh no, I can have such
setting
a better...
Setting timers.
And that's what talking to Mike Ayers will do to you.
That's what happened to my husband for the last couple of years.
You talk to Mike for a while about a good cup of coffee and you want to quit your job and just really get focused on it, right?
Yeah.
Now, we had a couple other letters that we wanted to catch up with from our readers. So Mark from California sent us a very nice letter a few weeks back that we wanted to read. I just listened to episode 20 and inspired me to contact you. I have really enjoyed your podcasts as my family has some similarities to yours in terms of our RV experience. We used to be tent campers, but stopped camping when the children came along. We tried a few tent sessions, but setting up the crib inside a tent lost its magic in short order.
Yep.
And Mark, we feel you on that. We never did tent camping with cribs, but we used to strap the two cribs onto the roof of our Toyota Highlander.
For the pop-up
camper. So that was one of the last things.
And then set up, a big deal, like having to set up the cribs and the pop-ups. So
oh, it's such we're so happy to be rid of that step. And then he goes on to say, a couple paragraphs later, the big difference between how my family and your family approach the RV lifestyle is that almost all of our stays are at public, meaning county, state, or federal campgrounds, and most are without hookups. We love it. I guess the West Coast RV lifestyle is different than yours. This difference really struck home when you were talking to the guest reviewer from Utah, which is Brett Nielsen. You two have inspired me to start looking at Jellystones and KOAs more, though. There just aren't that many of those on the central coast of California. The other difference between us is that I have no aversion to modifying the trailer. Now, I've spoken about how I don't like doing mods because I'm ready to sell my trailer
already. But I
think
our listeners are going to finally talk you into some mods.
Well, everyone's like mods. Yeah, everyone loves doing that. He goes on to say, I mounted solar panels on the roof within a month of purchasing it. It takes a little bit of faith to start drilling into your roof, but once you go solar, it changes your life. And that is another story for another time. Mark, we would love to hear that story. So thank you so much for writing in. Oh, and then he said, P.S. at the bottom, I will not be spending $20 to purchase a pair of socks.
Yeah, he did not like your sock
recommendation. So he did not like my sock recommendation in our holiday gift guide.
No darn Tufts for him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's fine. But you know what? I appreciated his paragraph about the public campgrounds versus the private ones. And we do say all the time that we're sharing something that we really enjoy as a family, but we're not saying that that's the perfect model.
We want to do everything. Yeah. We want to mix it up and do everything.
Yeah.
And we will.
But I think that his comment about the difference in the East Coast and West Coast camping is 100% true. And all my East Coast listeners are going to get, you know, all in a bunch about this. But it is true that there is less land on the East Coast.
Right.
So it is more of a sort of at a premium. And so.
And we just don't have beautiful state parks in the state of New Jersey as much as you do out in the West.
Are very different here. So when we are, as our kids are getting older, we do want to branch out into that more. But at the same time, we also always want to have that aspect of it for our kids that's like, we're negotiating with them almost. Like, we do think we're providing them with
a great...
If
we're going to be your RV family travel atlas, you know, we intend on going everywhere and doing everything that we possibly can. And we want to experience state parks, federal parks, county parks, KOAs, Jellystones, good sand parks. We want to try it all and talk about it on the show. We had another really nice email from Mandy, who is from Colorado, right?
Yes.
Mandy wrote in and said, hi, Jeremy and Stephanie. I discovered you on Instagram the other day, and I am smitten. Well, thank you so much.
I know. We're smitten too, Mandy. You're so nice.
I'm already on podcast number 6, and I have been browsing the website over and over. My husband and I also have twin boys, God bless you, born in 2009, and an older singleton boy who is 7. God bless you again.
Well, so we have twins that are the same exact ages. And yes, and we both have three boys. So I really do love
Them. Yeah, there's a kinship here, Mandy. She goes on to write, we both grew up camping, so it was an obvious decision to take our boys camping as babies and toddlers, and they just adore it as well. The only difference is that we're still tent camping and dreaming of the day we upgrade to wheels. Oh, and we're also in Colorado. I can't wait until the day you make it out here and share your stories. I've always had it in the back of my mind to start a camping blog, and to see you guys doing it so exceptionally is an inspiration. Thank you both so much for sharing your passion. Keep up the great work. I think we should quickly announce that we will be in Colorado in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you just let the cat out of the bag.
I let the cat out of the bag. Uh-huh. So we will be doing another RV show in Denver, Colorado, 2 weeks from now. So
yes.
We'll give more information on that
Mandy,
one next week.
I don't know where you are in relation to Denver, but come meet me.
Yeah, you'll have a lot to talk about. Absolutely. So we'll be back in a second to talk about our top picks from the 20th annual Atlantic City RV Show. So for this week's featured topic, we want to talk about floor plans for now and floor plans for later. We're going to talk about two great family-friendly floor plans that we saw at the Atlantic City RV Show, and then two floor plans for when we retire and boot those kids out of the RV. So what was your first family pick?
Well, you know, at this RV show, they had a lot of Airstreams.
Which they didn't at the last show we were
right.
at, so we were really excited.
And, you know, they're eye candy.
When you step inside, it's like there's like a feeling of awe.
Yeah.
I mean, you get it.
Works of art. So there was like a couple of rows of these Airstreams.
Most of them not family.
I couldn't help myself. Even though we've had this talk over and over again, first of all, when I think Airstreams are wonderful for a couple, but I feel very strongly that when we're traveling by ourselves one day, I don't want to be hitching up.
And frankly, we'll be older too, and that's just another reason not to hitch up.
I want the flexibility of like just zooming around in a little guy, you know.
A little class B or a small class C or a small class A perhaps,
we'll talk about that. But so I really know that an Airstream is not in my future for that reason, no matter how pretty it is. But then we did go into, it was the 2015 30FB Flying Cloud bunk model.
And from my understanding of the Airstream lineup, this is really the only model that has real dedicated kids for beds. It's the only bunk model that Airstream makes. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, if readers, listeners.
Right. So, but the thing is that we do really like dedicated bed space. And some people don't care about that. But for us, we hate transforming every day. So we like to have beds set up and ready to go. So this one, though, this is the first time I've been in this model.
Neither of us have ever been inside this. I've only seen it online.
And I was really surprised by how spacious it managed to be, even incorporating those bunks.
A family with one child would be incredibly comfortable in this. A family with two kids, that could work. A family with three kids, in my opinion, is pushing it, but could work. You'd have to convert the dinette to a bed.
You would still have to convert,
right.
But still, the way it was set up, and, you know, Airstreams, like, they can feel like they're... Yeah, exactly. There's no slide-outs. They can feel like tight quarters. The way it was laid out, I felt that the room between the dinette and the kitchen space and everything, and the way the couch... I love the couch along the back of the trailer.
Well, I think the bedroom was in the back.
Sorry, I mean the front of the trailer.
Right, but this one had the bedroom up in the front. It had the dinette and the couch on either side.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying that it didn't have
that.
And I love that. So it didn't have that.
Right.
But the spaciousness in the middle.
It just felt like you're walking into any other Airstream, except that there's the bunk beds in the back. It didn't feel like it was a family designed floor plan. It felt like that sleek, beautiful Airstream.
Right.
Now, the one thing that really jumps out at me, though, is the bottom bed in the bunks, very nice, very spacious, very comfortable. The top bunk is very small.
Right.
Very tiny.
You said, how old would a child
it's very small for a very small kid, and it's the top bunk. So right now, our Wesley is not even 2 years old. He would fit in that bunk, but then he's elevated on the second bunk. So
we wouldn't put him on there. We would put one of the older boys
So Max and Theo would fit fine in that bed now, but at 8, 9, or 10,
I still think they would. I wonder how long it would be before a boy would say, I'd rather just sleep on the dinette, or whatever, yeah. You know, and just be like, oh, put me in the dinette.
And that little top bunk could be great storage. I mean, mm-hmm. that'd be a great place
for clothes and everything, for all the kids to keep their stuff. Yeah. So if you did have two kids, I think this is a really nice model. If you want an Airstream,
this is
you
the only
candy.
One that would work for us. This is the only one that would work for us. So my top family pick was the 2015 Jayco Eagle Fifth Whale, and it was the 29.5 BHDS, which means bunkhouse deep slide, I believe. Now, this was a really cozy, comfortable fifth wheel. The show price was $33,000, which I really think just seemed like a great price for so much RV. And I believe this is in their HT line, so it's towable by a half-ton pickup. Of course, you always want to really thoroughly check your weight ratings. But what I liked about this was it had the double-over-double bunks in the rear and like a little stairway that went up to the top bunk. And I wouldn't call it a bunk house per se, but it was just a really cute, cozy bunk area for the kids. Mm-hmm. And then right outside of that wall, there was the TV on the wall at an angle facing out into the pretty wide open living space with the booth dinette and a nice sofa and a spacious kitchen and lots of floor space.
Right.
And then, go ahead.
So it gives that balance. Like, we felt that we had to give up our floor space to have our bunk house in our current
trailer. Yeah.
So the
Which
key
is almost a mistake we feel we made.
Oh, absolutely. We do say that, well, could we have found it a little differently?
A little more of a
but
balance.
It's very difficult to know those things ahead of time. That's what we keep emphasizing on this show. And that's kind of why we talk so much about it. So that maybe
it's a lot to think about.
You'll consider things that you never would have considered beforehand.
Right.
We had some visitors to our seminar.
To our seminar yesterday. Yeah, we gave our first two seminars yesterday.
Yeah, and we had some listeners to our podcast there, and they said, oh, we bought our pop-up and listened to your podcast for the first time a couple
weeks. Oh, that's right.
Later.
And they were like, oh, if we had only listened 2 weeks ago,
so
we felt
bad.
Like jerks.
I was like, oh, no, you'll be really
and
happy
still,
in your
I'm
pop-up.
I'm still waiting for a reader to write in and give me a great poetic defense of the pop-up, and I would love to read that
yeah,
on the show, because I feel like we've ragged on the pop-up a little too much. But this fifth wheel offers a ton of space. If you're interested in a family fifth wheel, the master bedroom was also fairly spacious. Mm-hmm. There was no slide up there, but spacious enough for me. The bathroom had two doors, one that you would enter from the bedroom and one that you could enter from the hallway, as it were. And then fifth wheels always have a ton of family storage space,
right.
You know? So fifth wheel's not for us.
It's not for us,
just
but
like
it's
maybe,
for a lot of people.
Just like an Airstream's not for us, but I still walk into them and kind of think, man, this would be awesome.
Right.
You know, like, I really liked that 2015.
And in
Jayco
fact,
Eagle.
Our listener, Karen, who's been listening first,
their
it's like the very beginning. She's the one who
shopping.
First recognized us at an RV show. She
right.
was like our first, like, oh my gosh, you guys are.
Right.
So they're in the market for a fifth wheel.
Karen,
and
check out this one. I mean, we liked it. I know you, I think they want the full on bunk room. In
right.
That.
They like the bunk room.
And this is not a bunk room, really. It's not a separate room, because it's like when you're sitting in the living room, you're looking
you
right at those bunks.
Beds,
and
right.
I mean, there's a curtain that goes across, but sometimes I think more cozy can be nice, and that you don't have to have that full-on separate bunk room in the back.
You know, we fluctuate back and forth on this all the time. We travel a lot in RV with our kids, and we go to feeling like more space to feeling like, you know what, let's bring it in, let's condense it, because we're not in the RV that much anyway. You know, we like in terms of being outside.
Every family's
versus...
different, and the RV for us is just a way to get there.
Yeah.
And the there is so much important than the RV that we're in. You know, when we realize that more and more,
yeah.
Which is why, you know, our next RV might be smaller
I
than
know.
Our current RV.
Well, and that's why I was looking at, like, the Airstream. I was wondering, like, when I look into a camper now, I try to think, how small do I think I could go with three kids and not sacrifice quality of life?
Right.
Like, it's a real tricky balance, because I don't want to go bigger.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't want to trick myself into thinking I can go smaller.
Well, the issue for us is that we have three kids, not two. And
right,
when you have two
right.
kids, like, all of these models are great for mm-hmm. the family of four. But once you're the family of five or six, the options start to narrow very quickly if you want dedicated beds for
yeah.
the kids. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if your kids are willing to share a bed, or you're willing to force them to share a bed,
right.
or you don't mind converting the dinette, then the sky's the limit. But if you want dedicated beds and you're a family of five or six, the options narrow.
Yeah. And sometimes it's hard to see far enough into the future to understand what your family dynamic is going to be. Because our boys that are a tricky age, at like they're almost six. And that is a very, 8 and 9 is a very different story than six totally. Is in terms of that independence and what they're looking for and
stuff.
Sharing. So I think, I mean, that's almost why I'm pushing any sort of RV changes too into the future a little bit, because I feel like I kind of want to see how things change as they get older and how, like I
you
said,
you don't want to buy a new RV every season.
I know, honey, I have to fight the good fight against.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying though. I mean, to wait till they're 8 or 9 might be good for us, because at 6 and 7, just a big difference in the age up. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear from any readers in terms that have that family of 5 or 6 or more, and tell us how you handle the sleeping space. Are beds shared? Are you using the convertible dinettes? I mean, if you want to send us a note, we would read them on the show.
And don't a lot of people with more kids, don't they do a lot of like reno?
Yeah,
I mean, that
you can do modifications for sleeping arrangements.
Right.
You know, that is definitely possible. Let's skip the kids for a minute,
okay.
though. Okay. We're constantly talking about kids and families and RVing. Let's talk about some of those sleek, smaller RVs for the retired couple who may occasionally bring a grandkid along. And I'm starting
to... First of all, I want to emphasize that we will not be retired when our kids fly the nest.
No one of our generation is going to be able to retire. That's what I'm hearing.
I don't want to say empty nesters, like we're empty, but we're talking about the season of our life when our kids go away to college, and it really is.
Well, and they might not, and God forbid, they might not want to come.
Right, exactly. Okay, we'll cross that bridge.
We'll deal with it by buying a sleek Class B. Oh,
okay, let's step back a second though and say why this topic sort of came up for us while we were at the RV show. What is the first thing that we saw? We turned the corner. We were going to the presentation space, and we turned around the corner, and we both kind of stopped in our tracks because there was the Travato.
The Travato, which the Winnebago Travato, which is a Class B. I think it's on the Dodge ProMaster chassis. It's red. It's sporty.
So it was red.
There are bikes hanging from bike racks. It just looks hip and cool. And compared to so many of the RVs that don't look hip and cool at an RV show, the Travato jumps out.
Oh, we were like, oh, look at that. It was like immediately
beautiful.
It was happy. So it was bright cherry
red. It was exciting.
And like you said, there were bikes hanging on the back and a kayak on the roof. Like, they know how to outfit this to make you feel like, oh, I need that, and I'm going to go on an adventure.
One of our co-presenters said that most of the RVs at the show are for the newlywed and nearly dead. Now, we did not say that, okay? But the Travato does jump out in that sense, that this is for that newly married couple or that single explorer who's out there living the nomadic lifestyle.
The young couple who has raised children and sent them
off. And they're still young enough to go
have
some
lots
fun.
Of fire in their bellies, so which I plan on having.
So it's just like we're not picking the Travato as
Can
one
we
of
say
our
why?
Pets.
Let's just go ahead and say why.
Because, I mean, we loved a lot of things about it.
So I went back and I went to take pictures and to say, like, oh, this is totally our, like, you know, post-kids getaway car.
We thought we were going to pick it. We were fighting over who was going to get it. I was like, Stephanie, are you
picking
the Travato or am I?
Picking ours. And I went back and I looked in and I almost laughed out loud. You weren't with me. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to laugh out loud. But I had to stop myself. The bed
is really small.
It's so small.
It's like a bed for a half a person.
I don't know.
The bed was comically small. Now, the seating arrangements up front were perfectly comfortable for two, but this bed would not work for Stephanie and I.
But see, you don't think that way when you look in a lot of Class Bs, because, you know, in the Class Bs, you have to make the bed. Like, you have to, like, put all the cushions down in, like, a jigsaw puzzle. But the thing is, once that happens, you don't look at it and think, oh, we couldn't fit in it. But once this bed was down, I was like, we could not.
Now, I have to say, there is a blogging couple, and their blog is called The Fit RV. And they recently, let's get to their fitness a second. They did a 20-minute review of the Winnebago Travato on YouTube. So if you Google The Fit RV Winnebago Travato, you can get a really good look at this. And they did a nice job going through everything in it. And they brought up the bed issue.
Uh-huh.
And they both lied down together in the bed.
Funny.
Well, they fit. But remember, they are fit, okay? So the bloggers from The Fit RV fit just fine. But it was tight for them.
Okay.
And so they did address that in an honest way in the review. And it made me think, I hate to say it, it made me think it's an RV for the solo explorer.
Yeah. Yeah.
At that point. So let's move on to our actual picks.
Okay.
Stephanie and I mean, it's funny. We walk into these RVs and we're like, oh, this is awesome. We can't wait to get into something
this. So one of the things that's a big goal for me in thinking about the future is definitely downsizing. But also increasing the convenience. Like, I really want a Class A. I always thought in my head, but a smaller one. Like, I didn't think that we could really do Class A.
So we don't have to tow a car, maybe.
Right. I wanted something that I felt like could give us a lot of flexibility. Well, I walked in to the 2015 Winnebago Rayo, which is not a Class C. And I'm always very against Jeremy
She never wants to look at Class A's.
But this one got me.
What was it?
It was
26
smaller,
feet long?
25 and a half. So it really was. It
was
felt
sleek.
Compact.
It felt like you could pull into a parking lot.
No
just
problem.
Park.
I felt that way when I was looking at it from the outside when I was in it. I was like, this
feels
small.
A Suburban's 20 feet long.
Yeah. I like this. But then, based on the size, what I couldn't believe was how nice the floor plan was inside. Like, it really did feel roomy. The bed was off to the side. Like, you know,
it's tucked into the corner.
Tucked into the corner.
But it would work.
But the bathroom next to it was far more roomy than a lot of bathrooms on a similar size.
And I thought they were stealing some room from
the bed area because the
shower was legitimately spacious.
Legitimately stand-up, comfortable shower, which is very hard to find in the smaller RVs.
Right.
Also, the way that the chairs turned, the way the, you know, driving area, the cab,
they
turned. So it made it
they
a very
part of the floor
comfortable
So there was only a dinette, I believe a U-shaped dinette. I don't know if it was booth or U-shaped. But then once those chairs were turned into the living area, you had a really nice, comfortable seating area.
Now, the TV was in a funny place. It was like against the wall facing one side of the dinette. And when I was first in it, I noticed that and I thought in my head, I know Jeremy's going to say something about that when he sees
Stephanie
this.
Stephanie hates when people complain
but
about the position of
I
TVs.
refuse to ever make an RV purchase based on a TV situation. So it was funny. I was like, well, I don't care. But you can turn those seats and watch the
TV. Yeah, you could attach the flat screen to the front bumper on the outside of the car. And Stephanie would be like, oh, that's
whatever.
Fine. I don't care.
Now, what was one of the first things you said? Look at that TV.
Yeah, it's just awkward. I mean, you know, but we don't watch TV, so I wouldn't make a decision based on where the TV is either, but it's certainly something I would think about. Is this at a good place or not a good place? Now, my pick for when we're flying solo is the 2015 Winnebago. It's actually the Itasca Tribute made by Winnebago.
Right.
It's the 26A. It's the smallest in their retro line.
Mm-hmm.
There's three models in the retro line right now, and each of them get bigger. This is the smallest one. It has no slide-outs.
Right.
But it felt spacious inside, and
There
was a lot of flexible seating and flexible sleeping arrangements.
Okay. So that's what I loved. I love the flexible sleeping arrangement.
It would be perfect for two.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted to, then there's a bunk that flips down if you bring a grandkid along.
Yeah, and you would never even see it. Like,
no.
You can have it tucked up.
It folds up into the roof.
Yeah. And if it were, like, tucked up, you wouldn't even feel like it was taking up any of your space.
Right.
And then there was the bed over the cab area that came down.
I'm not positive it had that, but it is an option. It was in there. Okay.
Yeah. And the thing is, I thought, wow, that goes up. The other bunk in the back
so
goes up.
So it's either for the grandkids or not.
It's not like you're having beds just in case. They're totally tucked away and out of your face unless you need them.
Yes.
And
so
I really
like
that.
And it was intentionally designed to be a flexible unit in terms of sleeping space. And I think even the master bed, if I'm correct, part of that folds up so you can, like, put bikes back there.
Mm-hmm. And one other thing I wanted to mention was they did the kitchen right, because I'm seeing some kitchens that people are not doing right, I feel like. And they did that kind of wraparound counter that came a little bit out into the living space with the couch on the other side. But that part of the counter had the sink, which is totally appropriate.
Yeah.
Not the stove or the oven or whatever it is that's close to the seating space.
And the interiors on the Itascas as opposed to the Winnebagos, you know, they're all made by Winnebago. I go. But the Itasca line, I think the interiors we like a little better. They're
definitely
a little more kind of subtle and classy.
Yeah.
And I think they really hit that mid-century modern.
Yeah, I put an Instagram shot up of the upholstery, the leather with the W.
It's pretty
and
sweet.
We got some funny comments on that, too. Because it's fun. It's like it's so sweet.
I can't get away from those Winnebago retro models. I keep coming back to thinking how
cool
and fun they
are.
So we'll be back in a second to wrap up this week's shortened show because we are here in Atlantic
City. We're working,
folks. We're working. We got presentations to get in a few hours. So we'll be back in a second to wrap it up for this short show this week. Thank you so much to everyone for listening to the show, and an extra special thank you to everyone who's been writing iTunes reviews for us. It means the world to us, and we would really, if you haven't written a review, we would really appreciate it if you do, because every time someone writes a review, we become more visible in the iTunes store, and our podcast actually moves up in rankings, and more people can find us.
I think, like, iTunes has that, like, kind of secret
algorithm. There's the secret sauce, the secret algorithm, but it's really not that secret.
But it's not. Everybody
knows.
You
get reviews, they push your podcast up the list.
Reviews and ratings are what matters.
And we're so happy to have as many reviews as we have, and we would just really encourage you, if you've been listening to the show and enjoying the show, to drop us a review. On Stitcher as well. If you're listening on Stitcher, a review is also helpful. So Stephanie just wanted to read a couple reviews that we received over the last few days.
Yeah, the first one was it was titled Great RV Family-Based Podcast from Ed in St. Louis. And he says, there are a number of podcasts available online that focus on RV travel after retirement and full timing, but little if any content that targets the family traveler. I appreciate the topics that the hosts cover as they are all relatable to most parents with young kids who travel in an RV and work full time. Thanks, and we look forward to hearing more of the adventures. And then Family Time by Happier Mama says, my husband and I tent camp for many years before buying a pop-up and finally getting our other dream, a baby. She camped in utero and again before she turned one. We've been off and on camping ever since. We now have a 19-foot Jayco hybrid.
Good choice.
I am so glad I discovered this podcast to explore additional ways to bring our adventure to our camping lives. Thank you for the inspiration in a cold New York winter. Keep podcasting and keep camping. And that was just so sweet that it just matters so much to some people to be encouraged in what they're doing with their young children and that they're just, this is such a worthwhile thing to bring into your family culture. You
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. It's our best memories are RVing with our kids. Yeah. And we know it's the same for our listeners out there.
And then our last one is good too because it's called A Fun Podcast. And
these
it's
are all
by 5-star
Mimi. Reviews, by
yeah, of course. By Mimi B3. And it is a thoroughly enjoyable and informative podcast. The hosts work well together, hope so, and are a very engaging couple. Although my children are grown and I don't have an RV, I love hearing about their travels and learning from their experiences. I find myself smiling at their adventures and cheering them on. Happy trails to them and their family. And I just want to say thank you so much, Mimi B3, for leaving that because we do hope that so many of you, even if you don't have an RV or even if you don't have young children, just find value in listening to us sort of bumble
this
our way.
This is a show also about family.
Through adventure.
And about travel.
Yeah. Right. So it really is nice to hear from some people that may not have the same circumstances as us. And then it's also really nice to hear people with the young kids that say that what we're doing is helpful and useful. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It's very encouraging to get these reviews. So we are now, we have some work to do.
We're
here at the Atlantic City RV Show. We've got seminars to present, and we're heading off today to give our tips and tricks for RVing with kids. And then later today, 10 reasons why RV vacations are better. And we'll be back in action Sunday and Monday. So to check out the event schedule, go to gsevents.com. We would love to meet some of the podcast listeners, and we've already met a few.
Yes, that was so much fun.
Very fun, and some more of our listeners are definitely coming Monday. So if you come to the AC RV show, we are here, we are presenting,
come
and
say
we would
hi.
Love to meet you. Thank you so much for listening to RV
All
Family
right.
Travel Atlas.
Talk to you next week.